إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this month, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Allah said, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed on you as it was prescribed on others before you, so that you develop taqwa, so that you become among the muttaqoon. We have completed a little more than one third of the month of Ramadan, and so I think it is a good idea to do a performance appraisal for ourselves and see how, what we have achieved. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what it is supposed to achieve. The month has been sent for us to develop taqwa. So therefore we must question ourselves and say, now that I have spent 10, 12 days, 11 days, how much taqwa have I actually developed? Because if Allah sent the month for us to develop taqwa, then we should assess. If the month goes, then it's not to say that taqwa cannot be developed outside of Ramadan, but when something has been specifically sent for a purpose, then we should take maximum advantage of that. So therefore, it is a very good idea to do this check. Now there are three ways of measuring taqwa. The first and most important and the most basic fundamental foundational level is that taqwa must keep us away from haram. So actually what is halal and what is haram? So keep us away from what is haram. Whether it's haram in terms of our earnings, whether it is haram in terms of what we eat and drink, whether it is haram in terms of our behavior, because there is haram also in behavior. For example, telling lies is haram. We are not eating or drinking anything, but telling lies is haram. Doing ghibat is haram, and so on and so forth. So, staying away from haram. This is the absolute. If you are not in that, then even the foundation is not there. Because if you are indulging in haram, then where is the question of taqwa? So, taqwa, the foundational basic measurement is, does it keep me away from haram? Number one. Number two, second level, is to stay away from that which is doubtful. So one is to stay away from something which is clearly haram. There should be really no need to have this first stage, frankly, as a Muslim, there should be no need to say that we should stay away from haram. As the day you and I said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the ahad we made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to stay away from haram. So where is the need even for me to remind and say that the foundational level of taqwa is to stay away from haram? And the reason I'm saying, you know why I'm saying it, because unfortunately for us, even though we are Muslim, we indulge in haram. So this is a very shameful thing. There should be no need to say this. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the famous hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who says La ilaha illallah with ikhlas will enter Jannah. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the ikhlas of the kalima? What is the meaning of who says La ilaha illallah with ikhlas? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who says it with ikhlas, with sincerity, the ikhlas of the kalima is, it keeps you away from haram. So the foundational purpose of the kalima is to separate us from haram. But let us be kind on ourselves and say this is the fundamental thing of taqwa, inshallah. Second level of taqwa, as I mentioned, is to stay away from that which is doubtful. I don't know whether it's haram, but I also don't know whether it's halal, is it clear, it is not clear, and so on and so forth. All kinds of doubtful chickens, all kinds of doubtful Chinese food with Ajinomoto in it, all kinds of doubtful colored water, toilet cleaners that we drink. At best, they are doubtful because there is a secret formula. What is that formula? We don't know. So, at the best thing you can say about things like Coke and Pepsi and so on is they are doubtful. I mean, if you want to say that, speak the truth, there is plenty more you can say. But I'm saying minimum is that it is doubtful. So, and these are, and there may be many other things. I mean, each one, the purpose of this performance appraisal is not for me to do it for you or you to do it for me. It's for each one of us to do it for ourselves. Because for each one of us, our lives are different. How we live, things are different. What we eat and drink is different. And so on and so forth. So, we have to make sure that in our lives, that we do our own appraisal. So, the doubtful. Similarly, what we watch on television, for example. There are some things which are clearly haram. Inshallah, we don't do that. But there are other things which are doubtful. Doubtful not in the sense of being haram. clearly. But for example, you're sitting and watching a football match for 2 hours. Right? World Cup is going on. The Muslims, most of them are, literally the traffic is less on the road when the match is going on. It's to that extent. Now, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to account for that time or not? On the day of judgment, the first question, what did you do with the time that I gave you? The life that I, does it include one day internationals? Does it include World Cup football, World Cup cricket? Or no? That's exempted. So, at best it is doubtful. I mean, if you ask me, I won't say it's haram, but I would say it's a fantastic way of completely wasting your time. Go play the game. That is very good for you. Go and kick the ball around in the field. It's good for you. It's good for your health. But sitting and watching that game, I don't say it is haram. I'm not giving a fatwa, but definitely it is a highly doubtful thing. And if you ask me, shall I do it? I would say definitely don't do it. Definitely do not do it. So, there may be things like this, which in terms of what we watch and what we read and so on and so forth, doubtful. So, second level of taqwa to develop is, it helps me to avoid the doubtful. The third level of taqwa which we hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us is to deliberately seek and do things with please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I'm not talking only about halal. Halal is halal. The halal and haram is the doorway. It is the gate. Without that doorway, you are not even inside the house. You are on the street. When we get through that doorway by taking only halal and leaving out haram, we are inside the house. But you are standing in the lobby. You are not anywhere inside the house. We want to get into the innermost part of the house. And for that, we have to seek and do what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the things which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to stand in the night, Qiyamul Layl. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan brings that to us in a very, you know, collective way. Taraweeh is Qiyamul Layl. Alhamdulillah. But out of Ramadan, and even in Ramadan, what about praying 2 rakat of tahajjud before, at the time of suhoor, for example, or maybe a little bit before you eat, pray 2 rakat of tahajjud and then have your meal. There's enough time. Seeking out things which please Allah. Go looking for something. Who needs charity? Who needs something? There are so many people who are poor, but there are people with izzah. There are people who will not beg. Even if they are in very dire circumstances, they will not ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned such people in the Quran. Allah mentioned such people in the Quran. Those who have need but who will not ask. Allah said, go look for them. Go find them. Help them. They will not ask you. It's your job. Don't even tell them, if you need something, ask me. He will not ask you. He will ask his Rabb. And his Rabb will question you when you go before him and say, my so-and-so slave was there. Why did you not go there? There's a famous hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, did you find me? And he said, where, ya Allah, how could I have seen you? So-and-so was sick. If you had gone there, you would have found me there. And so on. So seeking specific things which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. And this is in addition to the faraid. This is in addition to the halal. I'm not talking about praying Salatul Fajr. Alhamdulillah, we prayed in the masjid. This is part of our fard. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you in full measure, in keeping with His majesty and grace. But this is the fard. We get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the nawafil, not with the fard, with the nawafil. Fard again is boundary condition. You leave the fard, you're outside. So fard is the boundary condition. More than the fard, tahajjud, other nawafil during the day, just plain nawafil, reading of Quran, zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of these things, charity cools the anger of Allah, jalla jalaluhu. Charity cools the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seriously, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us enough wealth. There are many of us who are here and many of us who will listen to this, who in one day, in one meal at a restaurant, we spend more money than somebody needs to eat for a whole month. In one day. One day, one meal. You know this and I know this. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given you. Inshallah al-Musta'an, there is no sin on you if you take your family and you eat halal. But also consider this. You don't think twice about spending that money in that restaurant. But if somebody says to you, now that you spend this money in the restaurant, why don't you give the same amount of money in charity to a poor person? You'll say, oh my God, I must give so much money. I must give $300, $500, 10,000 rupees, 50,000 rupees. But you just gave it to the restaurant guy. You just gave it to the restaurant guy. And that's why I say, make a rule for yourself. Whatever you spend on yourself, alhamdulillah, it is halal, what you spend, no problem. But whatever you spend on yourself, make it a rule that the same amount you will give away in charity. For the sake of Allah. Whatever. You buy a phone, 40,000 rupees, give 40,000 in charity. You buy a car, whatever car you buy, give the same amount in charity. If you lived in Singapore, you would give that in tax. Seriously. The price of the car is a tax in Singapore. So if you wanted a car, if you wanted to buy a car in Singapore, the price of the car you would give in tax. I am saying voluntarily do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then see how the barakah flows into your life. See how the barakah flows into your life. My Rabb is huyur. Allah does not take from you. You give Allah, Allah gives it back. You give in His path, He gives it back. The more you give, the more you get. The more you give, the more you get. But you have to give. A closed hand, a closed fist cannot hold anything. You want to hold, you have to open your hand. The more you give, the more you get. Third stage of taqwa. So let us do an assessment of ourselves and say, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us so much of Ramadan. What has happened to my taqwa? Because Allah sent this month in order for me to develop my taqwa. And final point, I cannot leave this without saying this, because that's my trademark. They will think I have changed my colors or something. Some of us, if the strength in your right arm is still heavy enough to lift a razor to your face, then there is something seriously wrong with your taqwa. If you are a man and your right arm is still strong enough to lift the razor to your face, to wipe out the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there is your taqwa is in great danger. And as a woman, if your right arm and your left arm is too weak to lift up a piece of cloth and put it on your head as the hijab, then there is something seriously wrong with your taqwa. So please understand, there is no, I'm not joking. I have neither a baba shop nor do I have a hijab shop. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. We can talk till the cows come home. You can say, I am an Ashikha Rasul. Your face will tell you that you are a liar. You are not an Ashikha Rasul. You hate the face of the Rasul. If you liked the face of the Rasul, you would have made your face like the face of the Rasul. How can you say you are an Ashikha Rasul and you shave your beard? You are a liar. You are a cheat. So don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. This is where the rubber meets the road. So assess yourself. Your taqwa is directly related to the strength of your right arm. And test it and see. If the razor is too heavy, alhamdulillah, your taqwa is good. Inshallah. If that hijab piece of cloth becomes light and it comes onto your head, alhamdulillah, your taqwa is good. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to take full advantage of whatever of this month is left for us. We don't know. The month itself will have 29 or 30 days. But I do not know whether I have those 29 or 30 days. Who knows when my time comes? I cannot say that I am going to live to the end of this month. So let us be very clear. It's not how many days the month has. It's how many days we have. And if Allah takes us in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, very good. But let us make sure that we take the maximum advantage of this month while the month is with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you in perfect health so that there is no sickness and no problem with worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tire himself out in Ramadan. He used to exhaust himself with worship. More and more and more. And then we come closer to the time of i'tikaf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make i'tikaf, to take the full advantage of this month in order to develop taqwa and to become muttaqeen, so that the rest of the year, inshallah, will be a source of great blessing for us. Our dua will be accepted. The promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come true. Because remember, all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for the muttaqoon. There are no promises for the muslimin. The promises for the muttaqeen. All through the Quran. Hidayat is promised to Hudallil Muttaqeen. Allah has promised all His promises for the people of taqwa. Being a Muslim is the boundary condition, is the doorway. You have to do more to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to enable us to become among the muttaqun and to make it easy for us and to help us and to fill your lives with barakah and to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.